SMQBs episode 24. My God, we are live in Las Vegas with a studio audience. This probably should not even be posted. It was a hoot. Audio is a little bit less than ideal, but a good time nonetheless. Enjoy it. Have fun. I've lost my voice.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys. They're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
This is SMQBs episode 24. Live from Las Vegas with a studio audience for the first time. Toby, I walked by a sports book tonight. You're not going to believe this. I got odds. Jalen Hurts, over under for wins, 7. Joe Flacco, 6. Toby Milrod, 8.
Wow. You get those odds in Vegas. It's fucking unbelievable.
I'm taking the under on all of those.
Yes, you should take the under.
I'm ready to go.
You're the best hope for the Eagles this year. What's going on, everybody?
We're in Vegas, baby.
We're in Vegas. We have we always joke we have one fan. We have like 25 in here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
We have no idea how this is going to go tonight. We have no agenda. We have no idea what we're doing. Rooster's blasted. And
wait, you say that's like something new.
Right. It's regular Monday, right?
Yeah. So, that's right. It's like Monday afternoon.
Joe Rogan can hold my beer. Look at what we got going on.
That's the first thing we have to talk about. Is soccer house? What happened on the European soccer this week? Anything
interesting?
Yeah. So there was some big soccer action this weekend.
Football.
And normally most Americans don't care very much about soccer, except we had the very best. We have an audience member who's unruly.
We need a gallery.
I need a sergeant at arms here.
I'm a large fan.
Quiet, please. Quiet. The audience could be punchable face of the week.
Identify yourself.
House, back to soccer. This is important stuff.
So, although we don't normally give a lot of space to soccer, we had the very best soccer teams and players in the world playing this weekend. On Saturday night in the Copa America, two major rivals in South American soccer, Argentina and Brazil, faced off. You had Messi, the world's best soccer player, going against Neymar, arguably the second best soccer player in the world. And Messi, despite a very storied career, which he'll go down as one of the greatest soccer players of all time, maybe just behind Pele, had never won an international tournament. And so Argentina pulled off a 1-0 victory over Brazil. But the next day was the big stage. Other than the World Cup, the biggest soccer tournament in the world is the European Cup. It's all the teams from Europe. And on this stage was two very storied teams, England versus Italy. And England had not won anything, really, of any substance since 1966.
I know that year.
What do you know about
that? That'd be my birth year. They haven't won fucking anything.
You were born in
54 years.
Wait, you were born in 1966?
1966.
Oh,
Jesus, you're old.
You're old. You're fucking old.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The peanut gallery over here.
House, wow. Go on.
I'm hoping we can get this episode on vinyl for Pope. So, anyways.
He can't even add because he's 55.
England jumped out to an early 1-0 lead.
Early lead.
Like 2 minutes into the game.
Fastest Euro final goal ever.
And it looked like the fans in Wembley playing before the home fans in Wembley. It looked like they were going to have a just unbelievable victory. There were hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. But Italy stormed back with a goal in about the 78th minute. They went into extra time. No goals were scored. And it went to PKs. And in the PKs, each team gets 5 shots each, and you go one after another. And Italy had a chance to seal it up 3-2. They had to make one more goal, and they would have won the cup. And the British goalie made an amazing save. So it remained 3-2, and England had a chance after two previous players missed kicks. England had a chance to send it into extra kicks. And for the third consecutive penalty kick, England misses. They lose at home. The tears follow. Italy is the champion.
Vini, Vini, Vici.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Talk about your boy from Man U. Totally fucked up the whole thing.
So this is a little bit of a preview to the punchable face of the week, and it's not Marcus Rashford.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. He did the Fred Flintstone like bowling move to go up there and did his PK. He's like the twinkle toes up there.
So look, it was
okay, Mr. Man City over here.
You know, there was an interesting moment that game, Rooster, because
I don't think your guy even had a PK.
In the 119th minute, neither Sancho or Rashford had been in the game.
Right.
And the English coach decided to put them in the 119th minute so they could be eligible for PKs.
And they both missed.
And they both missed.
Not even close.
And you know what? Great players miss under pressure situation. But I think what we'll talk about a little bit later on is how the English fans have reacted to Rashford missing.
So like the Revolutionary War, the Brits got out to an early lead and then shit the bed down the stretch. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So Viva Azzurri. Congrats to the Italian soccer team. Big special shout out for the Sanguinetti family. Bringing it home for the Italians.
All right. So, Pope, do you like the cup ending on penalty kicks?
Look, we talked about this when we were watching it. I mean, you've got to have finality. Soccer could go on in forever. I mean, you at some point, one team is going to have to score, or you're going into four overtimes, five overtimes. Guys are not going to be able to continue to play. It is not necessarily a fair way, but it is the best way to resolve a game.
Most exciting for the fans, right?
Look, PK for World Cup or Euro final, I mean, that is it doesn't get any better than that.
Does that say who the best team is?
No.
Sure it does.
But no, it does not.
Look, arguably, both teams were good enough to win. And, you know, you got PKs and that. You got to decide somehow.
Jamie Goldstein, what do you think?
Jamie Goldstein, they're bullshit.
Yeah.
She played she was a top player. Yeah, she was bullying.
So what's a better format, Jamie?
Just keep playing. It's just, I mean, you're playing for a moment in time and you're shooting out. That's not how the games get. That's not how the game is played.
They don't do a shootout in Stanley Cup.
Like that. No, that's right.
We're going to talk about the Stanley Cup. Right. We may talk about the cup at some point.
They have free substitution in hockey, right? In soccer, once you're done with your subs, those guys will die on the field if nobody fucking scores.
All right, enough talking about soccer.
All right, that's
nobody in the USA cares about soccer anyway.
That's true.
Moving right along. NBA, Rooster, what's happening in the NBA?
NBA, who wants to talk about the NBA? All right. Who here knows Stephen A. Smith? Come on. Everybody knows
Stephen A.
just signed a new contract. Anyone know how much he's getting paid a year?
How much is Stephen A. getting?
A lot.
How much?
$1.
Twelve. Stephen A. just signed a contract for $12 million a year. He's getting paid more than any NBA head coach,
baseball player,
any NCAA head coach, and anybody on Milk's Stanley Cup winning Lightning team. And not, Jeremy,
that didn't happen.
Great summary of the NBA.
How the hell does Stephen A. Smith get $12 million a year? That's what's wrong with sports, isn't it?
Aren't we in the middle of the NBA?
How the hell does Stephen A. Smith get $12 million a year?
I don't think anybody cares. What about the finals?
Talk about the finals.
All right. I mean, you have one job tonight.
Stephen A. Smith's a national treasure.
I'm sorry to get you bitches off the script. And, you know,
we don't have a script tonight. That's the problem.
All right. We'll talk about game three of the finals. Giannis,
wow.
In game two, scores 40-something points and they get blown out. The difference in this game is, he scores 42, 13, and 6. They win 120 to 100 because finally Drew Holiday and Middleton come to life. Drew Holiday scores 21 points. Middleton scores 18. Crazy Eyes, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Scores 11, and Lopez scores 11. And the Suns played game three like Milwaukee did in games one and two. They had one guy really basically
scoring. I told, he's not here, Jay Urban, our Milwaukee Bucks, resident fan, right? I told him last night, I said, game three is the easiest game to win in a seven-game series if you're down 0-2. But they always let up. You very rarely have sweeps, and that was an easy win. Game four is the entire – it's what it's all about. If they win game four, we got a good series. If they don't, it's over in five, as I predicted.
But if tell us about the stats on teams that have come back and win game four and go 2-2.
Well, that's a tough one. If they have home court advantage, I would guess they're about 85%.
We're not interested in guessing. Come on,
where are your stats, Pope? What the hell, Pope? You're the stats guy.
We got 20 people in the room waiting for your stats.
I think that's a pretty good guess, 85%.
All right, so the Suns are – if I were a Suns fan, I'd be worried about Booker because he kind of shit the bed. He scored 10 points. He couldn't hit anything. But they'll come back. They'll come back. But I want to ask Cheryl Pope, who was the star of the Suns game?
Cam Johnson.
And why is that? Why is that?
He's a Toronto.
All right. We saw Cam Johnson's dunk in the third quarter. Posterized PJ Tucker. It was an all-time NBA dunk. It might go down in history as one of the top 10.
Okay, so
Cam Johnson
is
the SMG.
Joins a pantheon of Vince Carter and Michael Jordan.
He has
a great
dunked
heel
his
dunk
way into from so now on,
public service announcement: from now on, Milk will be in charge of the NBA segment.
Tampa doesn't even have a team, but he's taking over for Rooster. Milk, we love you.
Jay Urban did ask me to say, do you still think it's Bucks and seven?
I do. So look, I mean, I think yes. Booker didn't have a good game, but I do think the fans had something to do with game three. I mean, Milwaukee's been waiting for a home game in the NBA Finals for a long, long time. And I think each team is going to hold home court until game seven. And I still think the Bucks are going to pull it out in seven.
Milk called in and said, Suns in four.
Wow.
I did.
What an NBA genius.
What do you have there, Pope? What do you think?
I had Suns in five. I still have Suns in five. They win game four and they close it out in game five.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I going back months, so I'm going to continue to say it and remind everyone that don't forget about the Bucks. And so Bucks in seven.
Nostradamus.
I got Suns in six. Suns in six. I think the Bucks win one more and that's it.
All right.
So Suns win at Milwaukee game six.
All right.
Suns and six.
Okay. But can we just let's break from NBA finals and talk a little bit about international basketball and the USA. Talk about shit in the bed. Thoughts, house on USA.
Who is this team anyway? Like, seriously, they lost to Nigeria. They lost to Australia.
Bunch of kangaroos.
Hardly, like, the big, tough international teams to face. Like, they either have no chemistry, no heart. They clearly have talent. I mean, Kevin Durant, something is the best.
They're like a bad version of the Nets.
No, we're going to talk about the Nets.
Don't talk about my Nets. Nets would have been about to been to win the championship.
By the way, for the fans,
for the injury.
This is Mr. Front Runner. He didn't know where the Nets played basketball until this year.
He went out on a limb and said, hey, let me tell you guys, keep an eye on the Nets.
He's got seven
that's
different
when
college
they got
teams that he
before
polished.
They got no.
So
back to episode one.
So the USA basketball, it's crazy to bury this team right now. They just finished the season. Most of these guys are still, you know, aching from the whole season. They played two exhibition games. They will run away with any competition
really?
That's serious.
Really?
Yeah, no, one person on Australia's team.
I don't have any idea who plays on Australia's team. I don't think anybody on the USA team could name one person because they didn't care. They're just getting their legs back under them. They will be fine.
After losing to Nigeria, they're like, we don't care. Australia.
Yes, they cared less.
We're talking about practice. practice, right? We're talking about practice,
not a game.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I think
no.
All right. I think we have no chemistry.
Moving right along from the NBA and from basketball, sad story. Brian Pope, call your office. What happened to the Atlanta Braves?
Acuna.
Marcy.
What happened to Acuna, Marcy?
We have heartburn in the left quadrant of the room.
Acuna Matata. MVP.
We have a Braves fan engine that drives.
We do.
A real Braves fan. Two.
Dos Braves fan. Acuna.
Trace. So, you know, look.
Pope, lay it out there for him. Let's get some reaction from the hometown fans.
Pope's second team, by the way.
It was actually my first team and then the Rangers, but it's complicated. With Acuna out, look, we've been talking about the NL East. It's on a hamster. It's like a wheel, hamster turning. We got the Phillies. We got the Nats. We got the Braves. Nobody wants to really come up and challenge the Mets. I think the Braves now fall off without Acuna. I mean, he was the engine that drove that train. So I think he'll come back, you know, ACL, horrible injury.
Come back when?
Come back when?
No, he'll be back. Not this year, obviously, but.
Not even.
You know, it's not a career-ending injury.
Let me ask you, all three of you guys are NL East fans. For the life of me, I can't figure out why.
Oh, what fans?
NL East.
Oh, NL East. Yeah.
Did any of your teams draft before the Mets?
No. No.
How the hell did the Mets get Rocker?
I think they drafted
with the 10th pick.
Yeah.
You guys are screwed. The Mets now have three aces on their team.
Listen, this is sort of like when the Giants drafted a guy named Daniel Jones,
who everyone thought
was going to be a good player, and he's really pretty mediocre.
Brewster, you have no idea how this is going to turn out. Brewster, the MLB draft is putting a blindfold over your eyes and throwing darts. You have no idea the number of first-rounders.
Follows Jeremy? What do you think? Come on, Jeremy. Everybody who follows baseball is like – Lighter and Rocker.
That was before they played the season this year. Then they all got shelled.
No. The guy's an ace. Let's let the fans talk.
Jeremy from Indiana.
Yeah, Jeremy from Indiana.
The top two picks in the MLB draft are pretty much locked in. Now, where they go kind of depends on what the team's needs are and the fact that
lean into the microphone.
Yeah. And speed it up a little too.
This is an East Coast podcast, not a Midwest one.
A lot of it after that is just throwing darts.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But all right. Catcher,
awesome analysis, thank you.
He's right though. It's throwing darts.
So you think that Rocker was a tenth pick in the first round?
Those are the needs, man.
Well, the Mets don't. He fell to the Mets, who have two awesome starting pitchers. Now they have three.
Three when? Do you think Rocker is going to join DeGrom and Syndergaard next year?
I do.
Next year?
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Wow. That'll be by our 100th pod.
There were better odds at Caesars that Toby wins games in the NFL this year than Rocker wins games in the MLB next year.
Center for Navon.
You know.
Image, by the way.
Yeah. Well, Acuna, down goes Acuna. That's sad. Yeah. Great young talent. Nobody likes to see that.
The Bison, since you're the baseball aficionado, I think our fans need to know, we're at the halfway point of the baseball season. What is going to happen the second half? Our predictions pretty much for the most part went to shit. So where are we now?
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess because MLB decided to put their finger on the scale, get their thumb on the scale again. And, you know, the season started. They said, too many home runs. And so they sort of looked the other way. And now it was like too many strikeouts. And so what do? They start putting in rules about the substance of the ball, the spider tech. Max Scherzer has to take his pants off when he's running off the mound. And what happens all of a sudden? Those fucking productions going up for the offenses. So I don't think any idea what's going to happen this season. I think the only thing that we should be talking about in baseball right now that has any relevance
is Ohtani.
Ohtani.
If you're not watching Ohtani every time he's pitching and every at bat,
right.
Forget it. Forget about your team. Forget about the Yankees. Forget about the Nats.
Forget about the Phillies.
But you can also watch the Braves. Forget about everybody. Just watch Ohtani.
Ohtani is the starting pitcher tomorrow night for the American League, and he's the leadoff batter.
And they changed the rules.
He's in the home run derby.
They changed the rules so that if he comes out of the game pitching, he can stay in and keep hitting. Right. That's what a phenom he is.
Right.
So, you know, look, it's just really hard to tell what's going to happen because of the way, and we talked about this on previous pods, Major League Baseball keeps screwing up because they can't get out of their own way. Whenever they feel like they need to, they put their thumb on the scale and it backfires on them. And so here we are now. We had this crazy first half. Nobody could hit. Nobody could score runs. And now we're going to the second half where who the hell knows what's going to happen. So I'll tell you what's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now what's not going to happen. The San Francisco Giants will not make the playoffs.
Whoa. Wow.
I'm sticking with it.
Best record in baseball. Who would have predicted that?
That is so. Why do you have that prediction?
Because they're just not that good. They don't have anyone who can play baseball on that team. Why they have the best record in baseball is just fucking shocking.
This coming from a podcast that picked the Yankees and the Nats.
Here's the thing. Let me for real about baseball. Here's the thing. Pretty much to make the playoffs in baseball, you need 90 wins, right?
Right.
And you can scratch off a lot of teams right now. Like for example, the Phillies. Yes, they're in second behind the Mets, but they're at 44-44. Okay, to get 90 wins, they have to go something like 40-20.
Right, because we are definitely more than halfway through the season at this point.
It's not happening for so many teams.
Right,
are the Phillies going to get another 46 wins in the season? There's no way. There's no way. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot of things we do know that some teams are just scratched off because they're not getting the 90 wins.
This is a crazy year. Nobody saw the Giants coming
at all.
No. Nobody saw that coming
because they have nobody who can play baseball.
Never been on a team that uses actual team camaraderie that plays.
Yes,
their talent.
That's how the Nats. That's how the Nats won the World Series 2 years. The last time they played the World Series,
they're in the division with the Dodgers and the Padres, and they have the best record in baseball.
Every now and again, you know what I mean.
All right,
I don't know. Can they keep that? I don't think so.
Enough on baseball. There's nothing to talk about. About college football, Meredith Burns. All right, we're gonna move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Punchable
face of the week.
It's this week's punchable face.
Cam from West Virginia, who actually had the most punchable face of this week?
Moutinho.
Yeah, and why is that?
208 punches. To the face.
Yeah, that is a bad week.
The punchable
for
face.
Anyone. That is literally the punchable face of the week. All right. But we don't do literal here because we're not that smart. So, Toby?
So I am going to give our live audience.
Oh,
hey.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. I'm going to give you five choices for the punchable face of the week.
There's only six people in the room. Who's going to break the tie?
I'm going to describe the situation pretty succinctly and let you guys decide based on this performance of what happened, who gets the punchable face of the week.
Okay.
In the world of UFC fighting here in Las Vegas.
Ooh, boo.
Conor McGregor.
He fought.
And
not really.
Said, not really.
Not really.
Conor McGregor fought and said that his opponent was going to be taken out on a stretcher. Well, Conor McGregor left in the first round on a stretcher.
With a broken tibia.
With a broken tibia.
Ah, wimp.
Loser,
there's a flesh wound,
a punch in the face. He's definitely eligible.
All right, that's a nominee. Second nominee,
disgrace to the Irish.
The $12 million man, Stephen A. Smith, today, after getting $12 million, inserted his foot in his mouth by saying that Shohei Ohtani could never be the face of baseball because he doesn't speak English and requires an interpreter.
Ooh.
To which he had to issue a very lengthy apology.
Wow. Yeah.
Real world face palm.
Very yeah.
That's good.
Number three.
Sorry, Jeremy, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, despite their championship, did something absolutely sacrilegious. They toyed around with the Stanley Cup and completely damaged it so much that the Stanley Cup, probably the most famous championship trophy in sports, has to be repaired. They can't even hold the cup right now because it has to be sent in the shop to be repaired.
Assholes!
Yeah.
Yeah. Tampa sucks. Tampa sucks.
Let's number four.
And I'm going to blame that on the Russians.
The Tampa sucks.
Number four. The USA basketball team needs to get off their high horse and win an effing international basketball game. It's an embarrassment what happened this week, losing to Nigeria and Australia, and that alone deserves a punch in the face. And the fifth and final one is, I am sorry, I will never, ever root for English soccer again. This team, who I wanted them to win, okay, what happened in those penalty kicks were the first two guys that took penalty kicks for England were white.
Harry Kane and Harry Maguire.
Oh, this is important.
And then the next three guys that took penalty kicks for England were persons of color, black. Unfortunately, they all missed. And the British fans have taken to
brutal
hooliganism
to social media.
19-year-old.
I mean,
they suck.
These are 19, 20, 21-year-old kids that are missing a penalty kick. The racism, first of all, as the Italian fans were leaving the stands just because they won, I don't know if you've seen some of the video.
Yeah,
the English fans beat the shit out of the Italian fans coming out of the stadium.
Yep.
Then went all over social media making death threats to the black players on the team. And on top of that, by the way, for those of us who have our F1 fans out there, Lando Norris, who attended the match, had his watch stolen at the game. McLaren had to issue a statement about that too.
Horrors. Wow.
So, like,
they beat up a child.
Get a grip.
They beat up a child.
As Rooster would say on one of our podcasts, get a life.
Get a fucking life.
So
that's what we want to hear. We want you, live audience, to decide.
The English soccer fans.
English fans. The English fans.
We're going to have our audience boo. The louder you boo, the more the likely that we're going to punch the face.
Clearly the answer on this should be the Tampa Bay Lightning, just letting you know.
All right, let's hear
the first.
I think it's got to be down to
Stephen
A and the British.
Are there any boos for Conor McGregor not talking the talk or walking the walk in his fight?
Light boos. Everyone's afraid of Conor. What do you tell these?
Stephen A. Smith says Shohei Ohtani cannot be the face of baseball.
Pretty strong.
The Tampa Bay Lightning cannot protect the Stanley Cup.
Yay.
USA basketball can't beat Nigeria or Australia. The English soccer hooligan fans are out of control and beating up fans and chanting racist taunts.
From America.
Yeah.
England.
America.
I think it's England.
You just got
and Stephen A.
Just like 1776, you're punching the fucking face again.
Bam!
British.
Well, we all know that there's a lot of fucking horrible things that happen in sports, but every once in a while, there's some good things. Ted Lasso moment?
Yes. Pope? We have a great Ted Lasso moment.
Let's hear it.
Where our audience will kind of remember what happened last week, but the spelling bee, which is, by the way, a sport, we've all decided that
not a sport.
Non-Olympic.
It is a sport. It's on the Ocho.
Meredith, right? Meredith has a serious question about the sports.
I think it is a sport, and I think you're just neglecting it because someone from LSU won.
Wait.
We're literally giving
away the highest happy truth.
We're giving away the last one. I'm not the punch in the face for moving on here. Do you know what a lasso is?
Hold on.
Wait. We have a new nomination. Face to the win. Mary Burns for not.
Let's face it.
It's a sport.
It's not a sport, but we're gonna honor this.
All right, calm yourself down, Mary. Meredith, calm down. Because we all know that people from LSU can't even spell Louisiana.
But you know what? Spotify. Hey, Rooster. You know what they can spell? Murray. Right. That was the winning word. That Dahlia Avant-Garde, 13-year-old from Louisiana.
Yeah. Oh.
Right. So she is the first African-American to win the spelling bee after, I don't know, like 80 or 90 years.
Actually African-American, unlike the British soccer players. Yes.
Yes. Who said that? And
no idea.
She is an amazing story, though.
Yes.
She already holds 3 Guinness World Records for juggling with basketball. All of our fans out there, including our live audience, you should Google.
You mean dribbling?
Avant-Garde and Guinness World Records. And you'll see this
insane
video of this girl dribbling blindfolded. Dribbling on a unicycle. It is insane what she's doing.
She's also an awesome player.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's a great basketball player, too. So then she goes out, not only has those world records, goes out and wins the spelling bee. The focus to do that and then go win the spelling bee. That's a great story. That's my lasso.
The best part of her winning that, though, was her little dance after she won.
I mean,
maybe I'm getting old and sentimental, but the joy that she had was all it was about. It was like
it was
this.
It was glorious.
Oh, yeah.
The audience, the listeners could see this.
It was like 35 years younger.
Rooster just broke the lamp.
Not nearly as nimble, but
even though Rooster broke the lamp, Tommy Tun underworld pay for that. Thank you, Tommy.
But really, the joy that she showed there was just what sports are all about, and that's what's missing in a lot of sports.
Did she have a scholarship to LSU at 18?
She's 13. I'm sure she can write her ticket to do whatever she wants to do. I mean, she's an amazing basketball player already.
She is.
And so
is that a sport?
She clearly.
Oh, ouch.
You ever heard of Shaq?
Jack?
Hello. Hello.
She clearly showed
blinders,
showed her a little moxie under pressure. And it is really a great story. And it is to be celebrated by the entire country. So good for her. And she gets the SMQB's Ted Lasso.
Hey, thanks to our live audience for coming.
You guys were terrible. You didn't listen to anything. You didn't follow any of the rules.
Q&A.
People are leaving. But I just
are running for the exit. What's that all about?
We're still looking for sponsors. So if you enjoy the show,
right?
Before we get canceled by Apple Podcasts, please sponsor.
This is like the end of a Sixers game when Ben Simmons on the line shooting free throws. People are heading for the exits because they know the outcome.
There we go.
Oh my God.
Hey, final speed round. Congratulations to our SMQB host, Toby, on completing his excellent year as president of a very, very, very important organization. Houston, 24 episodes of the SMQBs while also being responsible for the safety of the free world. Good job, Toby.
We love you.
Good job, everybody. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Hey, have a great week, guys.
This is for our live audience.